This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Coming up on this week's pod, we'll review Sunday evening's defeat in Talla. We will reflect on Owen Whirran's first league campaign. There was victory for the under-17 men in their cup final. There's cup finals to come for women's under-19s and senior teams. We had managers hiding in plain sight, pundits not even making an attempt to hide. And we're going to chat a little bit about the League of Ireland moaning culture. We'll do all that. We'll have listener questions. Of course, we'll have our Richie Rankins. And by we, I mean myself and Ben Cleary. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Duty.
How has your week been?
It's been good. All the better now that I get to sit here for the next, we say 40 minutes. It's never really 40 minutes, but sit here for the next little while and chat all things Shelburne and all things shite with you.
Yeah, well, I could think of many worse ways to spend my Wednesdays. Just on a side note, before we get going here, pod may be a little bit later out for the next couple of weeks, just a schedule issue. So it might be a little bit later. We always try to aim for that Wednesday morning. We may have to tip into Thursday mornings for the next couple of weeks, but we will attempt to keep you in the loop as best we can. Ben, same old story. We could copy and paste our football talk from last week's pod. Valiant effort, but ultimately nothing to show for it.
Yeah, it's pretty much, as you said, a copy and paste. It's a little bit of a tough one to take. I know that sounds a bit mad when you consider circumstances, but I know the manager, the players wouldn't be looking for any kind of excuses. I know a lot of people saying, oh, sure, it's not bad, only like no centre halves, just a makeshift back four, but I know the same excuses wouldn't be there. But it's just mad when the criticism out there has probably been about what we've are able to create in the final third. The chances are there. It's just that little bit of luck that you need, and it's just not falling for us. And it's just, I think it's mental when you consider the performances of the last three games and the point tally from them.
That's fair. You mentioned there about the chances. We are creating good stuff. I mean, Boydie's unlucky with the kind of snapshot he has. It's a good save. Paul's pulled out. He decided to turn into a goalkeeper all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
He played against us, yeah.
He decided, but actually, I'm going to use my hands to save stuff.
He pulled off the save from Harry Woods. I think it was Ali Koo had a good chance as well. He saved. So look, we're not getting bogged down on the result. I mean, it's a mad thing to say. Like, there's three games to play. We are right in the midst of a title race, but I'm just like, relax. Let's just relax. Like, we've got two, let's call a spade, very winnable home games coming up. We're playing Waterford at home, playing Drogheda at home. Let's just see how Waterford goes. Let's get out, let's get 3 points, and just see where it takes us. As the manager said, it's in our hands. Three wins from three, and there you go. You're immortal all of a sudden. So let's not panic. Just on the performance itself, Ben, I do think a bit of credit, and few people have kind of, not bashed us for this, but saying it's a bit of a John O'Sullivan love-in. Look, he gets done, all ends up for the first goal. It's Neil Ferrugia. Like, what I said to, I don't know whether it was you or Dazzler, I said it to, of all the wingers you could come up against as a makeshift right back, Neil Ferrugia is not the one you want to be up against. And he just showed John, clean set of heels, squares are for Jack Byrne. But I actually thought John done really well playing in that position. It's obviously not somewhere he normally plays. Thought he adapted really well. But particular praise this week from me goes to Cam. He just looked so good.
Yeah, but I think he has done, like, he's consistent 7 out of 10 for me. I think he offers an awful lot in terms of just his pace, his power. I think it goes a little bit underrated there, but I think he reads the game really well.
He does. He's very rarely caught out of position. Like, the amount of clearances he made on Sunday, I'd love to see. You know those ones, like, at the front post where a cross comes in and he was hooking them clear, and he just looks really assured.
Yeah, and I think, look, it's probably with, obviously, Griff going down injured, hopefully we could maybe get him back. I don't know how it's looking, but I think it's a good time for Cam to kind of find that little bit of consistency and that little bit of form, because he obviously has a massive role to play now.
That he does. It was outrageous on Sunday, Ben. It didn't really hit me till we were sitting there. We were sitting just behind kind of where the players who weren't in the squad were. And it wasn't until you actually seeing the bodies in front of you.
It got so bad that we actually had to count out if we had enough seats for people.
Yeah, there was, what was it, 7 was the final count we came to?
I think it was 8. And like, oh, 7, yeah, 7.
Every single one of those 7, realistically, would be in with a chance of starting that game. Like, there's nobody there you would have said, no chance.
Yeah.
Would they be starting? Like, it's mad, absolutely mad. It's not like there were young lads or something like that were injured or were suspended. Like, proper, really important players. And to cope the way we did, we carved out chances. Just, I think we were unlucky again. The goals, I don't think we... The second one, forget about that. Like, you're chasing the game, that can happen. The first one, again, I think if you have Gano playing right back, I don't think he lets himself get into the 1v1, which, again, that's no knock on John O'Sullivan. It's very, very difficult to drop into a position you've never played. And I don't think Jack Byrne gets across the front of a centre-half, if you know what I mean. I think a centre-half would see that danger. Yeah, like, whereas when you're a fullback, you can kind of, not that you can let somebody have a yard, but you'll always have a centre-half behind you who can tidy up after you, whereas obviously in that position he didn't. That's all I really have to say.
There's not much else to say on the game. Like, it was always going to be a tough ask. I think most importantly, at this stage, if a result isn't going to go your way, the performance has to be there. And the performance was there, so it's encouraging. So weirdly to say, when you probably look at the run and some of the results, but I'm fairly happy bouncing into the next game. Like, I'd be fairly optimistic. I'm excited to see the players we have back. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it, which is very strange. It's not something I'm used to.
This probably sounds a bit mad. It still doesn't feel like we're really in a title race. Like, it just, I don't know whether it's just because it just seems so far away or whatever it is, but there's only 3 games left. Like, we're only going to be in Talca 2 more times this season. And then it's curtains. Like, that makes me sad.
That's the saddest thing of all, yeah.
It's the worst. I hate to end the season dread. It's horrendous. Although, at least, it shouldn't be as bad this time, because we know the manager has his contract and he's staying on board. We're not going to have to deal with that. What would you call it, Ben? That experience on the way back from Drogheda?
Uncertainty? There was a little bit of uncertainty there. It was...
Yeah, it was shit. But well, hopefully this time won't be.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Saturday, a strange day. Our women's Premier Division side put in a really assured professional performance. A 3-0 win at home to Piemont. Alex Kavanagh with an outrageous free kick. Anyone who hasn't seen it, make sure you see it, because it's ridiculous. But it wasn't enough, unfortunately. Athlone done their business on Saturday night against Bowes. A 2-0 win for them hands them the Women's Premier Division title. Then it's disappointing, but when you roll it all together, Owen Weirin, his first season managing a senior women's team, just comes up short, but a cup final to look forward to. In the wise words of Gavin White, how would you assess that?
Yeah, I think all things considered, it's probably a really strong season. It is a really good season. You can't really knock them. They gave it their all to the end. Like, they could have easily had one eye on a cup final and maybe looked away when Athlone were looking like they were taking that lead. But the manager said, on Wearn said he was going to go out and they're just going to win all their games and do their part. And that's what they did. And they did it till the very end. Look, sometimes you have to rely on a little bit of luck, a few favours. They didn't go our way, but I'd be very optimistic going into the cup final, especially when you have the team playing the way it is. Because I think in recent weeks, like, you're seeing those high scoring games, you're seeing the squad firing on all cylinders in a way. Like, you've everything kind of going for you. Like, having Kate Mooney come into form now is probably going to be massive going into a cup final.
100%. I would definitely back us in that cup final.
I think so.
I think a wounded animal like that going into a cup final is always a good thing. When you look back, like, it's hilarious, because when you look back through the results, like, the amount of games that the girls won, and for you to not end up with a title at the end of it is a bit mad. Like
we've lost one game all year.
Yeah, and it wasn't enough to win a league.
Like, that's,
you know, like, real fine margins. You probably look back on I know everyone will probably point at the Athlone game and talk it. I don't think it was that one. I think it was the Bowls game, the draw. I think that was the one that kind of you'd really look back on and go, oh, we could have just dragged it out for another, you know, couple of weeks, kept the pressure on for just that little bit longer.
Yeah, it's a tough one though, because, like, you have to look at it and you're like, what more do you have to do? You lose one game. You concede, I think that the girls have conceded 8 goals this season. Like, they played...
They're ridiculous stats, aren't they? They're ridiculous stats.
It's insane. They've played some of the best football this season under Owen Whelan. And, like, there's some players out there, and they're, like, you just... After last season, I was like, Maggie Pearce couldn't get any better. After a season at centre-half, she moves into midfield. Incredible. Just so much better. Alex Kavanagh just is so consistent, so good. The free kick just shows that the technique she has. Like, she's a top, top player. And you do feel for them, because, like, you're kind of asking, what more could they have done? Like,
yeah, I think if you're a Rovers or a P-Mount or, like, a Galway, you'd be more kind of, you know, we should have done this, should have done that. But losing one game all season and not winning a league is just... I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. So
it's an insane thing to even say. It doesn't sound real.
No, but look, all that said, the cup final is to come. It's the Sunday, the 20th of October. It's in Tallaght Stadium at 3 o'clock kickoff. Get your tickets. You'll get them on all the club socials, or you can get them at fai.ie/tickets. Get out. The Women's Cup final is generally quite dramatic. So bring whoever you can. Get as many people out. Wear your red. Make sure you buy in the right section is what I would say to you. Just again,
take over Tallaght. Like, get behind the girls. They need it. They thrive on it. Like, you can see how much the sport means to them. So I think it's important to have it there.
100%. And obviously, more positives won't mean much for the girls now, obviously, with not winning that league title, but Alex Kavanagh, Pearl and Kate Mooney all in the team of the week, always a sign of...
They may as well just start copy and pasting that with Pearl in every week, because
it's
much easier if they did.
It would. Speaking of Pearl, Ben, 200 appearance on Saturday. It's... What do you say?
There isn't much to say that we probably haven't said already. A perfect ambassador for the club, a perfect role model for young women, young men, anyone, everywhere. She is exactly what you'd want in a Shelbourne captain, exactly what you'd want in a player, and an incredible person to go with it. So that's all I can say.
I think we look past, well, I certainly do. Well, I don't look past it, but I think it comes across like I do. We always talk about like Pearl as a leader and an ambassador and as a captain. Pearl is a bloody, bloody good footballer as well. Let's not forget that. Yeah. I think sometimes, like, you know, sometimes these cult heroes can be, like, no disrespect, but the likes of a Dave McGill, Giller, really highly thought of among the Shell supporters. Wasn't the best footballer in the world, but he was blood and guts and all that kind of stuff. There's an awful lot more to Pearl. I think people sometimes will put in that category of, you know, that warrior centre-back. Pearl's a serious footballer, so
yeah.
I think it's important I give her that credit, because a lot of the time I go on about, captain, ambassador, all that kind of stuff, but a bloody good footballer as well at the same time. Sticking with women's football, Ben, another cup final upcoming. The Women's Under 19 Cup Final. It's going to take place on the 13th of October. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's in Talca. It's a Sunday. I should have told you that. The day is the most important bit. It's this coming Sunday. It's in Talca. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. There is first team players there that will be involved, in Katie McCann and Nia Hannan. Just off the top of my head, there is others there as well. Get down to Talca, as we've seen in the 17th Cup Final. I think everyone gets a little boost when those cup finals are played on home soil, if you like. So get yourselves down, lend your support. The girls are still in with a shout of qualifying out our league phase as well. So all to play for. And it's against that loan, would you believe? So more at loan drama. There's a little rivalry starting to form there. I know there's been a bit of, Glorious strength conditioning coach would refer to as a little bit of antics.
Yes, I think that's
without loan. So, yeah, needle. Nothing wrong with a bit of needle, Ben.
Not at all. Never heard anyone.
Everyone needs it. We mentioned there as well that 17th Cup Final took place on Sunday. Comprehensive 4-1 win for the lads in the Mark Farren Cup Final. They're a bloody, bloody good team. Again, I would encourage people to get out as much as possible to watch those underage games, because you are quite literally watching the next generation of talent. Notably from that game, Dan Ring scored 2 assists, man of the match in the cup final. And then he was shepherded straight out to Talla to make the bench and get his full league debut for the Reds. Not a bad Sunday, Ben. What were you doing when you were 16 years old on a Sunday?
Not that anyway. Probably some story going into school the next day. How was your weekend? Good, yeah, not too bad, you know. Yeah, cup final win, senior debut, all that kind of stuff. The usual Sunday evening stuff.
Yeah, just played in front of 7,000 people there live on RTE, but no big deal, really. And he's a very, very nice down-to-earth lad, is Dan Ring, so.
Yeah, really nice kid. You'd hope he does well. He seems like he's doing very well. So as long as it continues, I'd be happy.
Yeah, very happy for him. Very happy for the players. Very happy for Keith Roach, the manager. Roachy's a great fella, so delighted to see him. He won't want any credit, but credit where it is due. There's an awful lot of positive stuff here, Ben, considering, like, you know, all things considered. Matty Smith, goal of the month winner for his cracker against Pats.
What a goal it was.
I think the league account
said it was against someone else first. I saw they deleted their tweet. Didn't say it was against Pats. I don't remember who it was, but
wouldn't be like them.
I saw a few people hopped on that fairly quickly, and it's very funny how quickly people are to give a moan over something so simple, isn't it?
Very quick with the screenshots, people are. I learned that the hard way a couple of times myself. And just a last well done before we do move on to listener questions and more topical league stuff. Our Down Syndrome team made their second appearance in the League of Ireland Down Syndrome Festival. It was in Abbottstown last Sunday. It was a great day by all reports. They finished 5th overall, and 3 players subsequently were invited to national trials, which are coming up in the next couple of weeks. So best of luck to everyone involved in that. Well done on your performances on Sunday, and everything's just gone well. It's a bit mad because on paper people are probably looking on, Shells are all over the shop, but there's an awful lot of good stuff going on at the minute. that I think sometimes gets brushed over. Something that wasn't good, Ben, and I need to address this now, very serious matter. At the Pats game, I meant to address this on the last pod because somebody DM'd me about it and I forgot to bring it up. Whoever put that ramp outside the tunnel in Tolka.
That was going to be my Richie Winder, actually.
I tripped over it seven times.
Seven, I was counting.
I'd say people must have been mad because every time I tripped over it, I went, that fucking thing again. Not again.
You kept talking to yourself.
Yeah, it's never been there. I don't know why this time of all times it's there. But anyway.
People kept kicking it. So it was there to protect cables. People kicked it anyway, so the cables weren't getting protected. So what was the point of it then?
It was more of a trip hazard than a bleeding cable was, anyway, that's for sure. Speaking of television, Virgin Media 3 are broadcasting their game against Watford at home.
Yay.
Friday week. Yeah, another TV game. Comes with its own problems. Not only a curse for live television, but also having to entertain people and print off an outrageous amount of team sheets. But look, it's part of what you have to deal with, isn't it, when you're at the top of the league? Everyone wants to see the Reds.
People want to watch you play football. The only show in town, if you will.
Correct. You said it, not me. Ben, this week, the question box on Instagram, you try and get people's feelings and stuff like that. I more wanted to not get away from the results, but just let people ask their questions. You had something on your mind, get it out there. We'll chat about it. We'll shoot the breeze. Does that work for you, Ben?
It does indeed.
So, one listener, Sean Morley, I think his name was, he sent in a series of questions and said, lads, will you put something together here? Myself and my mates have done it, and I'm just wondering if we all come to the same conclusions. So, the questions he asked us to answer were, who would be our player of the season? What was your favourite goal of the season? Who has been our best signing? Who has been underrated? What was our best individual player performance? And what was our best team performance? Where do we start, Ben? Where do we start?
So there's an awful lot to unpack there, I think.
There is.
I think favourite goal is probably the easiest one to get out of the way.
All right, go on.
Is it? I've gone for a fairly obvious one, Evan Caffrey versus Pats.
Yeah, that's one of the two I have written down.
96 minutes and Mark Coyle versus St. Joseph's, which are brought.
No. It's happening again, Ben. It's happening again.
See, this is the problem with us watching matches right beside each other. Do you ever notice we're always standing beside each other for a match? So we see a lot of the same things and end up with a lot of the same answers.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, the Evan Caffrey one, I think that is my favourite one. And the reason it's my favourite is because I love those goals that like trickle into the net. You know those ones where you have that deep breath in and the whole, you can feel the whole stand just hold their breath together. Yeah. I love goals like that. And that one was perfect. Trickled into the corner, little P-roller, the scenes after it, magnificent. And look, Coyler's one speaks for itself.
For the Evan Caffrey one, though, I was standing at the side. Do you know the side that Pat Stewart's never usually let you go in? They make you walk all the way around.
Yes.
I basically just ignored the steward and opened the gate anyway. Sorry to that steward for ignoring you. And stood there waiting to get the full-time scenes of the crowd. I had the camera in my hand. Evan scored. I was like, ah! And then I started celebrating. I was like, hold on, I better get the camera.
I pity you, Ben. I've said this to you a lot of times. It's not how you do it. Having to get the camera straight away to pick up scenes, it's rough stuff. So we're in agreement. Caffrey, I think Caffrey v. Pats and Coyle v. Josephs, yeah?
Yeah, I think they're just...
And I will stress, actually, Sean did say your favourite goal, not necessarily the best goal. Yeah. So, I mean, I think if you're going down the best goal route, it's probably Matty Smith.
Yeah, Matty Smith or Ray.
Yeah, I don't really think you can argue with either of those ones. So, yeah, we'll stick with them. What's been the best team performance, Ben? I'll go first on this one, will I?
Go on.
So I have two again.
Oh, God, please, just not my one. That's all I have. I only have one.
I have the 2-0 win away to Rovers.
Oh.
And I have the 2-0 win away to Pats.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. I actually did go for three here. This is best team performance.
Best team performance, yeah.
I've gone 2-1 versus Rovers, second game of the season.
Oh, the Coyler, wasn't it? Coyler and Jarvis, was it? Got the goals. Yeah. Coyler scored the cracker.
Yeah. And then that was the game where Bradley came out and was he talking about tactics and they don't have one and they just lump it up. But it was Connor who got the ball up twice.
Yeah. Oh, we'll come to Mr. Bradley. Don't you worry about that. We'll come to that. Yeah, can't really argue with them. The Rovers, the 2-0 away to Rovers, it was a near perfect game. We just defended so well, gave them very little. Brilliant stuff. Best individual performance. You go first this time. Now, Ben, all right, before you start, actually, right? See if we have the same one on this.
Right.
We need to go on to Mr. and Mrs. or something along that lines. Because, and I'm sure people are sitting there going, these two bleeding dopes, they plan all this to make it try and sound better. Genuinely, right, and I'm letting the, as Giovanni Trapattoni would say, I'm letting the cat out of the sack here. We don't touch base before a pod at all, really. No. Unless there's a question that's very in-depth, like kind of this one, like I gave you earlier, best sign and most underrated, rah, 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 just so you could be a bit more prepared. But we don't touch base, we don't share answers. So Ben, tell me your best individual performance.
I actually knew you might have a similar one. So I've gone with three completely random ones that you want.
Right, okay, you're right.
I have full confidence you don't have any of these. Paddy Barrett versus Dundalk. The 1-0 win in Dundalk.
Yeah, I don't have that, but yeah, I know the game you're talking about.
This is a bit of a rogue shout. John Martin versus Galway, 2-0.
He scored in that game, didn't he?
Scored and assisted, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, correct.
And Tyreek bows away, 2-0.
Oh, you've done well there, Ben. You've done well. Really out-of-box stuff there, but very well played.
I want to show something a bit more obscure because obviously Paddy gets his plaudits and they're deserved, but Tariq maybe doesn't get them. John Martin, like, they've had some big performances and some really big, like, standout performances, I think.
Oh, 100%. 100%. My one, probably an obvious... Well,
I have one it's more. Probably,
it's an obvious one, I think, because of the manager's comments after the game.
Yeah, I think...
Coyle away to Drogheda.
Yeah, this is the one I veered away from.
Yeah, he single-handedly dragged us back into that game with that ridiculous... He was like a battering ram.
He just
getting that ball back against Drogheda. There was just no stopping him. He was a man possessed that day.
When you sent me the questions and it was best individual performance, that was the first thing that popped into my head. I was like, right, that's the first thing that popped into my head. The strong chance popped into yours, so I was like, I need something else.
Right, most underrated player this year. I would imagine I have two, but again, I would be shocked if we don't have at least one the same.
See, I don't know if you can call some player like.
See, this is the thing.
Yeah.
In another season, JJ would have been the most underrated player.
Yeah, that's what I...
He's not anymore.
Not anymore, because people are realising how good he is.
Exactly.
Taking a while, but we got there.
Yes. If I had to hang my hat on one of these two, I would hang it on Matty Smith.
Oh, for God's sake.
Forget that. Forget it. I didn't say Matty Smith. I would hang it on Cam Ledwich. Because they've both been kind of similar, but in that, like, Matty Smith has played midfield. He's played, like, as an extra midfielder. I remember him in one of those games away to Pats. He played there.
He
was amazing. He was brilliant. Really, really good. He's played in the 10. He's played wide. He's done everything we've needed him to do. Cam, similar. He's played left back. He's played centre back. He's played in the back three. He's played in the back four. He's kind of done it all, really. Another one, you know what, actually? I think it's only fair to mention John Martin in that as well.
I was just about to say, and another one would probably be John Martin. We'll go another John. John O'Sullivan as well, probably could go in.
Well, I mentioned John. They're all fucking great then, aren't they?
Really? Oh, that's brilliant. Just established, they're all fantastic.
Pack it in. Hit the stop button. It's going to be the same thing over and over again. Everyone's bleeding great. Right, so we're settled enough on Cam and Matty Smith, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, who's been the best signing?
Gano.
Yeah, this has kind of gone to hell in the handbasket a little bit. Right.
You do have Gano as well.
I had two. My other one, and a few people I think might have raised eyebrows at this one. Maybe not raised eyebrows, be harsh. Ali Koo.
No, I back Ali Koo, yeah.
I think Ali Koo he took a bit of that pressure off when Jarvis was kind of gone. Like, Ali Koo feels like he can be an X-Factor player. You know, he can come up with that moment of magic. And he's done it a couple of times. And again, I think he's been unlucky in that maybe the finish hasn't been there at the end of some of the stuff he's done. But, yeah, it's definitely Gano.
Yeah, it's
definitely Gano.
That's no disrespect to anyone else, because in fairness to the manager and the staff and Lukey as well, the signings, they haven't missed with them, really. Like, they've brought in some incredible players and they've done an awful lot this season, have been really good. But I just think the security, everything that Gano gives you, like we said this, Duty, after the first game. We watched in pre-season when we went up to the was Longford. And we were like,
yeah, in the AUL, yeah.
We were like, Gano is going to be massive this season.
Yeah, he's just so solid. And I think the biggest compliment you can give him is that we don't look the same team when he's not playing.
Yeah, it's one of those.
He's become one of those players where if he's not playing, you go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He's like in that Luke Byrne mold from like, kind of 21, 22 at that time, wasn't it?
2 years, yeah. When you're like, Lukey, we're dust.
Yeah, we're screwed. Yeah, I mean, the Gano question was a bit redundant because it was always going to be.
It wasn't the Gano question, it was underrated signing. The Gano question.
Oh, sorry. It's late. Don't usually record, it's late.
Most underrated signing. Ah, that's Gano. Move on.
Right, I'm putting you on the spot with these two, Ben. Before we come to player of the season, what's the happiest you've felt? Like, what's been your best moment? Could be a goal, could be a tackle, could be a result, could be anything at all. But what's the happiest you've felt this season so far?
Evan Caffrey's goal, which we mentioned, is probably up there. But St. Joseph's away, just on the pitch, all those celebrations, I don't know, that's just, like, that's living your memory for the rest of your life kind of stuff. Like, that's, it's just amazing, really.
Yeah, it's also the first time I've had somebody threaten to shoot me in the head as well.
Yes, that is true. disgraceful people, but, yeah.
Hard to argue. My one, this one I enjoyed so much because it felt like, oh, we might actually have a bit of a chance this year. It's Boydie's equaliser up in Derry. I know you weren't at that game, but there was a real like you were in the Lions Den kind of thing. Like, they put you in an absolutely terrible spot to sit in the Brandywell. You're like right beside the away dugout, but you're in the main stand. And you're getting stick and abuse and everyone's giving you the eye, and that game was live on Virgin, I think it was.
Yeah.
And when the manager, when we equalised, the manager just went absolutely haywire on the touchline. Great scenes, and it just, that felt like a big moment in the season. That's still a moment that I think we might look back on in whatever it is, 3-4 weeks' time, and say that was a massive turning point. What's the most down you've felt?
Most down. Ooh. Probably.
There was one that jumped straight into my head here. Then I had to think myself out of it because I was like, get real.
That's really put me on the spot. I don't really, like, this isn't really a cop-out, but I haven't really this season felt down. Like, there's so much to be optimistic for. There's a lot of positives. I don't think there's been a game where I've been like, oh no, and gone home absolutely raging when I have a chance to look at things. You've really put me on the spot there.
Right, I'll give you. So originally my brain went straight to sitting in the hotel after the Zurich away game, but I quickly talked myself out of that and was like,
yeah,
Abby, come on, that was Europe, that was like, you know, nobody expected anything from us, but you were there, Ben. It was,
yeah, it was.
It was more, you pitied the players so much because they were so disappointed, and like we were sitting there being like, what are you disappointed for? Like, this is fucking great, like the Reds are back in Europe, you know, we're being treated like actual professionals, like this is amazing. But there was stage of about an hour there in that team hotel, it was pretty rough, to be fair. But the more realistic ones from this season, obviously the Pats game last week, when they went down the other end, that was pretty grim. But the one, probably the biggest one, actually wasn't at the game, thank God, was the Galway away defeat there a few weeks ago.
1-0, yeah.
Yeah, that was tough to take. That was really tough to take. And I actually think it was made worse by not being there, in hindsight.
There was one really early on where I was just annoyed because it was Bowes. I think it was 2-1 loss at home to Bowes.
Oh, yeah. They had been a complete bag of shite before that as well.
Yeah. And they were pretty shit on the night as well.
Always makes it way, way worse.
That's what made that. I wasn't down. I was like, oh, just anyone but them. Like, you just, I don't know what it is. They just, they're so easy to dislike. And because they weren't good and they come away with it, you're like, oh, it's just so much more frustrating.
It is way worse. Now, this one, the last one, Ben, in this is one person's question. We haven't even tipped on most of the other stuff. We're nearly at the 40-minute mark, Ben. Player of the season. If it was being handed out right now,
it's Paddy Barrett, I believe.
I disagree. I think it's JJ. Again, I go with JJ because when he's not in the team, he's just so important. So, so important. And that's not a slight on Coyler or Evan Caffrey or Ali Coote's kind of dropped into midfield a little bit in the last couple of weeks. It's just that they're having to try to do what JJ can do, and they're better at other things than the things JJ's very good at, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think it's JJ.
I think it's probably definitely, JJ is definitely up there. I think as well as that, though, Paddy Barrett's one of those that when he's out of the team, you feel that loss. For me, he's been so important. He's been a leader, probably on and off the pitch. You see how well he speaks after games. He's, especially like losses, it's almost like they take it personally, but he's just one that I think when he's not there, you feel that absence, very similarly to JJ.
Yeah, you always reason things out very well, Ben. You should be a politician or something, because after a 5-minute chat with you, you could convince me that, I don't know, the sky is fucking pink. I don't know. Don't mind me. It's getting late. It's getting very late. My dad wanted us to mention something, Ben.
Is it that you can't tie his flag?
No, I can't tie his flag.
Well, you've done a pretty shit job of it recently.
There's two people who couldn't. We won't name any names. I don't know why he's fixated on this, but he turned around and said to me yesterday, 2 more wins and we qualify for Europe. I was like, all right, that's one way of looking at it, but 2 more wins also puts you on the brink of winning the league. But that's not where Larkin's brain goes to. Larkin's brain goes to just get us into Europe again. Just get us into Europe. So, yeah, are you fearing a chance of qualifying for Europe?
No, I'm not. I know that sounds a bit weird, but what's the point of fearing it now? Whatever happens. I know it's a bit weird to say it that way, but no, don't fear anything. Like, I have absolutely full faith in the lads, in the management team, in everyone there, that there's something there for us, and they're going to go out and give us performances we can be proud of, and I think the results should follow.
They will. We're going to win 3 out of 3, Ben. Shelbourne Football Club, League of Ireland, Premier Division champions. It's going to happen.
About 37 minutes ago, you just said you weren't making predictions.
We had another message off Paul. Yeah, Paul was. He has asked, why is our backroom staff so small compared to other clubs? It's not.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're allowed a certain amount of people on the bench. And I think, is it 7? I think it might be 7. Whatever. Anyway, there's a set number. We don't have a smaller backroom staff than anyone else. I think it's because mostly it's only really the manager that you see. Like, Joey will come out a little bit as well, but like, we don't have that whole thing of... Oh, yeah. That was... See that, right? And I actually feel bad for the fourth officials enforcing that, because they're just told what to do.
Yeah.
So you're only allowed to have one person standing in the technical area. I think that's my understanding of it. But if anyone noticed, Tala now have put advertising hoardings right in front of the dugout. So there was a stage... Yeah, very strange thing to do. But there was a stage where Duffer was out in his technical area where he's entitled to be, and Joey was the dugout side of the advertising hoarding. So he was, like, not in anyone's way, nothing. And he was just talking to the manager. It's not like he was rawing abuse at somebody.
There was also a stoppage in play, was there not?
Yeah, and then fourth official is over. Lads, when he has to sit down, when he has to sit down. But the bit that annoyed me was, all the while, Glenn Cronin was out, same as Duffer, giving information to the players. And McPhail was standing up in the dugout the same way that Joey was, and nothing was said to that. Don't like double standards. If you're going to do it, and be the same for both. I've no issue with that, but don't.
But that's the biggest for one or the other. Issue here is standards. Like, you need to push standards overall, and I just felt like every time the fourth came out, I knew he wasn't going near the Rovers bench, even when Stephen Bradley made a mad dash down to the bench, essentially. I don't know how the fourth didn't spot that, but he was there. So it's a bit strange that was all well and good, but Joey standing up was a bit of an issue. I don't know.
And also, Glenn Cronin is in my very bad books, Ben. He says to Davy McAllister at one stage, oh, what are you talking about, hard man? I said, here. I would have happily let them have it out. No problem. A tackling contest between Glenn Cronin and Davy Mack. Glenn Cronin wouldn't even be able to catch him. Being no contest. But yeah, not into that. All that mountain back and forth. Ah, just worry about the game, will you?
Busy. They're actually just busy all night.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was because Bradley wasn't there. They were trying to maybe be a louder voice or something like that. But let's deal with the... let's call it what it was, the piss take of the touchline ban. Well, it's supposed to be a touchline ban, I think.
An absolute mockery of it.
Yes. So my understanding of this, again, I'm not no expert, but you can't be in contact with the players. Well, you can't be in the dressing room. I know that for a fact. And you obviously can't be in the dugout. Now, what the rules are... guidelines are outside of that, I don't know. But what on earth is the point in giving somebody a ban like that and then they're allowed to stand up at the back of the stand on a bleeding walkie-talkie to the bench? What's the point? What is the point? What's the delegate doing? What's the match delegate doing? He's more worried about there not being enough bleeding toilet roll in the jacks. Deal with something like that. Say, here, he's not meant to be here. Or he's not meant to be doing what he's doing. Whatever. I'm sure you could...
He walks down. Walks down the stairs. And I'm looking around like, am I the only one on the ground that sees this?
It was ridiculous. Ridiculous. But, as it's happened now, he's gotten a further two-game ban.
Good.
Yeah, which, in fairness, to disciplinary or whoever makes the decision... you do have to do something about it. Otherwise, you're just setting a horrible precedent for everyone else. Be like, oh, here, I'll just do whatever I want anyway. But you should be banned from the ground. There's no point letting somebody into the ground when they can just do that anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know? And then, look, if you want to go to the extremes of a Jose and put yourself in the laundry basket, that's another kettle of fish. Good luck getting caught doing that. But just a complete piss take. And... I may as well give it out now. My Richie Baker for this week is whoever took the photo of him and then took the other photo of, was it Stephen McPhail with the walkie-talkie? Magic. Absolutely magic. Right, that moves us nicely on then. The next part. The next long-winded message I got, and it's from somebody called Charlie Wright. For a second now, pull this message up. Right, it's a bit long. So, hey lads, long time listener, sometime texter. The league can be a miserable place sometimes, but Jesus, the joyless whinge bags who perpetually moan about everything are hard to take. The Helen Lovejoys were out in force Friday, outraged and disgusted that Gareth McLean, a Derry fan, enjoyed Derry winning. And in quotation marks, he should act more professional. It's obviously what people were saying. The couple of hundred quid RTE pay him doesn't mean he's not a Derry man. Same for Stewie Byrne. RTE aren't paying Stewie enough to forget his graft for the Reds. He's an unapologetic Red. Neville and Carragher get millions a year, and that's not enough for them to act unbiased. We know they're biased. Why would we want them to pretend not to be? A league that thrives based on its authenticity has wet wipes moaning that people need to act more professional. I can't remember a single thing Graham Garton has ever said on comms, the insufferable professional bore. I'll never forget Joey Andoh's welcome to heaven. What a touch, what a goal. Get a grip, lighten up, enjoy a goal, enjoy a draw, go a bit mental and overboard with a good result. Celebrate a 94th minute equaliser like you've won a league. What harm is it doing to anyone? Regards, Charlie. Now, I am well aware, Ben, that we just moaned about Stephen Bradley, but... where do you stand on this Gareth McLean thing?
Grand, yeah. It's you can't put your biases aside no matter how much you try, especially with circumstances. Your emotions are going to take over. As the message says, Stewie, defend the Reds till the end. Never a red card. It's going to happen. Putting a bit of character, a bit of personality to it, it's what people see on Sky Sports. It's what people want to see. But why not? I just don't really get the whole moan about it. It's all a little bit much to me. it's not like you go into it knowing that it's an unbiased opinion and then you're shocked by the bias. Am I wrong there?
No, do you know what I think the problem was? It was so obvious because it was on live television. And look, to play devil's advocate a bit, maybe don't jump into the arms of the fella that scored the goal. Whatever about having your old fist bump or whatever. Yeah, great. But I mean, he gave it socks, fairness to me. He gave it the big one.
If you're going to do it, why not do it well?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
If you're going to do it in style.
Yeah, and what I would say is, when we played Joseph's and Tolke, Stewie was obviously on co-coms with me, and I mean, he celebrated when we scored, but you wouldn't have known that if you were listening to him. So I think McLean was a bit unlucky, but I will go at it from this angle. Who cares? What impact did Gareth McLean celebrating that goal have on your life? Very, very little. Find other things to prioritise. Far more important things. Speaking of far more important things, Ben. I just had to pull up this person's name, but they want to know, what is their favourite biscuit to have with our tea? Now, we've got in trouble for talking about this stuff and answering these questions before. But if a listener asks, Ben, who am I to refuse?
I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here. I don't drink hot drinks. So I'm going to disappoint you, Duty. Don't drink tea. Don't drink coffee.
Don't drink any hot drinks.
Don't even drink a hot chocolate.
What about soup?
Soup is fine. I'll have a bowl of soup with some bread, maybe.
Interesting. But very interesting.
You know why? Because the first job I ever had was working in a cost cutter, and I had to take apart and clean that coffee machine every day.
Oh, it's grim. Oh, it's grim.
And the hot water, and clean the milk trays, clean everything. I was like, the smell, everything just put me off. And I was like, I will never have tea or coffee after that.
That's fair.
It took 2 hours to clean. We had a Brazilian lad come in. Everyone just called him Hulk because he was a really, really big Brazilian lad. He was actually massive. And I taught him how to clean. I was like, there you go. That should take you about an hour. Enjoy. Came back after 5 minutes. My friend did it clean. I'm like, oh, dear.
Yeah, that's a grim job. I cleaned that coffee machine. I used to fucking hate it myself.
It was great because you just have to take it apart and the smell is under your fingernails. No matter what you do, you can't get the smell of coffee beans out of your fingernails.
That's grim. It's very, very grim. So the voice of reason, Jordan. Well, I should actually answer the question the man asked.
Should.
Yeah, I definitely should. It's a milk chocolate digestive for me. It was Mark Massey that asked that question. So there you go. There's your answer.
If it helps, I like custard creams. I don't know if you can dip them in
a custard cream. That, my friend, is a retirement home biscuit.
A custard cream is lovely. I don't care what you say.
A retirement home biscuit.
Then I'll retire.
I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, of all the choice you could have on the biscuit aisle, and you're going for a custard cream.
Well, I'd go for cookies normally.
Do you know what a custard cream is? It's a real funeral biscuit. Like if you call around somebody for a week, there'll always be an old custard cream on the go. Jesus, this has gone way fucking south here.
If that helps.
A wise man once said, don't ask for listener questions because this is the kind of stuff you'll get. The voice of reason, Jordan O'Reilly, said the team's given us 110% every week. We now need to give them 200% and push them over the line. Could not agree more.
Pretty much nail on the head stuff there.
Conor Lackett, Jack Moreland's Derby Day winner against Grimsby. Did you see this goal, Ben?
I did not.
It's such a Jack Moreland goal. He goes on a little dribble, that real unique kind of dribble he has.
That's one where he looks like he's about to fall over every 2 seconds and he's squeezed into the bodies.
Yeah, between two defenders and just slots at home.
Yeah.
If you could draw out a typical Jack Moylan goal, that would be it. It's a little bit scrappy, but there's still so much skill in it. We had another question. Alex asked, lads, do you find it hard to be happy for the likes of Jack Moylan and Gav Malloy when they've gone, moved on to so-called better things? Ben?
No, I don't actually. You have to be happy for them because, in fairness, they gave their all for the Reds. They're always a welcome face back. They were welcomed to the away end Daily Mountain. It's great to have them back. They're lifelong Reds now. They're going to always be behind us. So don't think you should maybe not punish a player for leaving and trying to seek better opportunities. And I think you just have to support them, and especially those two lads who, in fairness, gave a lot to the club.
Yeah, I think like that, when they're moving on to, you know, quote-unquote better things, you kind of have to just hold your hands up and say, "Ah, look, do you know what? Fair play to them. They gave us all they had, and that's what's gotten them their moves." There's other players who probably don't cover themselves in glory. One of them notably moved out to Inchicore. Like, he's not welcome back. I can confirm that. So, no, I'm happy for him. I really keep an eye on Aberdeen and Lincoln's results.
They're favourited now, so...
Yeah, no, I genuinely do. I wish well to those two in particular. Absolutely, yeah. Hope they do really, really well. What else have we got, Ben? Have we got any more interesting stuff, or is it all kind of fucking weird stuff? A lot of inside joke stuff that I can't really read out. A few people asked us to give their player the seasons. We've obviously dealt with that one already. Sean O'Kelly wants us to talk about Johnny Watson. Don't really know what to say.
Great fella.
Yeah. Legend. That probably sums all him up. Right, we're getting there. I think you can feel it now. We're starting to fizzle out. There was...
I think I have one for you.
I'll go on.
Did we touch on this, your favourite game this season? Did we talk about your favourite game?
My favourite game? I would have said Joseph's away, but I had a horrific experience for that game. So, no.
There's been a sending off, but for who, Stephen Doody?
I would also say Zurich away, but I had a horrendous experience at that one as well.
The microphone.
That's just not true. That's just simply not true. My favourite game...
Did I put you on the spot there? Am I getting you back for what you did to me?
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe the Pats away when Jarvis got a brace, maybe. Again, that was at the stage where we were just purely enjoying it. Do you know, it was like, this is great. We're winning games. You know, we've got really exciting players. We were so solid defensively. Yeah, maybe that one. That one jumped into my head straight away.
Hold on. I'm not having that now. There's a lot of past tense being used there, and I don't like it.
No. I don't mean it like that.
Yeah.
What I mean is, we, like, the Reds winning games consistently like that was just not the thing at the time. So to be in that position where we were winning, playing really well, that was amazing. Incredible. And that one game sticks out for me. Don't know why. Probably because it was against Pats. And probably because I am sure that right back, Freeman, has probably ended up on meds or something after that game. Because he was just... He got torn asunder. Ben, this... Don't you try to... Is that gaslighting what you've just done to me there?
No.
You've tried to make me look bad.
No, I haven't.
You definitely have.
I've given you an opportunity.
Oh, I'm not happy with all this past tense stuff.
Which you so accurately did.
Piss off. What was your favourite game?
It's Joseph's away. It's just the first away European trip in a very long time. The atmosphere, even, look, we got to go down and see the fan zone, and it was just great. Like, I know you may look at it and say, when you get to Zurich, this is what Europe is, but Joseph's away will always be a special, special game, I think.
Correct. Correct and right, Ben. Last up, Richie Rankin's time.
Yeah, you kind of took one of mine, so I'll have to pivot.
What did I take?
You took... Well, we kind of... We touched on a certain Glenn Cronin, so...
Oh, yeah. I take your pick of leading Richie Winters from Sunday's game. There was a lot of people at it. A lot of people at it.
Cronin, Neil Doyle, the referee.
Good clarification, Ben.
Important, but... I will, actually, yeah, I'd say I'm going to give it to
you. Richie Winters, Neil Doyle?
I think so.
He was a bag of shite, wasn't he? He was pretty bad.
in all fairness to Neil Doyle, he's usually a really, really good referee. So I think it's more just a standards issue I had with, like he'd be earmarked as one of the best, and you're like, if that's one of your best, look, everyone can have an off day. I just think his off day was a particularly bad off day. There was a few kind of head scratching decisions, but here, that's, I suppose that's what the delegates for. That's what people are there for. The referee, they get analysis, they get to look back on it. So hopefully it'll be improved on, but I just think he had a stinker, really.
Yeah, Alex Dunn, actually, smart arse, said, does Steve regret calling Neil Doyle the best referee in the league? Yeah, obviously. Obviously. But at the same time, he could hand us a game later on in the season. Like this, I keep saying later on in the season. There's 3 games left. I think Mr. Doyle could come up with a big moment before the season is over.
But, dude, it's mad that, like, when you really kind of put things into perspective and genuinely think about it, there's 3 to go. At the minute, the Reds are too clear. Would you ever have thought you'd hear circumstances like that again?
Nope. Like, Definitely not. Maybe in the first division, but not in the Premier Division. Certainly not.
Like, I think there might be a lot of noise around it, but I think it's really important to realise that we put ourselves in an incredible position to actually win a league here. And... look, you made your prediction, I'll make mine. Yeah, we'll do it. Why not? Put it down. If you go down, I'll go down with you, dude. You like to talk.
Ben,
I know we don't like our predictions, but they're made now. I'm actually, just based on performance, I'm full of confidence.
Yeah, it's on really my, it's very strange. It really is very strange.
You get bodies back. Look, the breaks come at a really good time. Hopefully you get a JJ back fit. You get a Paddy Barrett fresh off his suspension. Like, there's big, big players coming back there. Those two, hopefully, most notably.
Oh, it's looking up, no doubt. So, Ben, officially, your Richie Winter is Neil Doyle, yeah?
Yes.
My Richie Winter, I'm going to give it to Stephen Bradley just for... having the neck.
I've given it to him already this season.
Correct. You have actually, yeah. So there you go. Richie Baker, our glorious leader, has told us we're not allowed to have Shell's players or staff as the Richie Baker anymore. I will give an honourable mention to Dan Ring.
Yeah.
Scores 2 assists in a cup final for his own under 17 side, and then goes, makes his debut off the bench in Tala live on RTE. Amazing. But since we're not allowed to do that, I'm going to give it to whatever photographer or whoever it was with that camera that fingered Stephen Bradley. That's what I'm going to go with. Doing God's work, whoever you were.
Yeah, I'm going to use a technicality here to get out of the you can't use the players or staff. I believe he actually said first team players or staff.
Yeah, you might be right.
So you gave credit earlier, obviously Keith Roach, man of that 17 side, but Kai Barron, the stuff he's doing in the academy, obviously Lukey there as well, doing good work in the academy, Aaron Rowe, all the coaches that are out there, grassroots coaches, there's a lot of people that deserve credit there, but I think most notably those three or four deserve an awful lot of credit, because there's a lot of positivity coming out of the academy. It's a lot of good stuff happening, a lot of cup finals, a lot of stuff to be excited for. So it's really, really good. Really positive for the Reds.
100%. We are in a fucking great position. A great position. The curtain comes down on the Women's Premier Division on Saturday. The Reds are away to Rovers. It's a 4:30 kickoff. You'll catch it on LOI TV as normal. As we say, the league is gone, but important to have a bit of momentum going into the cup final. And on Sunday, our women's under 19 side play in their own cup final. They are a home to Athlone. It's a 3 PM kickoff. It's in Talca. Get yourselves down. You will not be disappointed. And Ben, I think that's it.
It's not too bad.
We're there. We've done all right. We've done all right. We're getting good at this stuff.
You know what, only
probably three more pods left.
That's also quite sad.
Yeah, very sad. But look, hopefully we don't get sacked and we'll be back next year. Ben, thank you very much for giving up your evening as always.
It's always a pleasure to get to spend this time with you.
Oh, you sweet talker, you. Goodbye, Ben.
Goodbye, dude. You up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.